Now moving to paper 11.
Agenda paper 11 deals with the accounting for the purchase of non-controlling interest when the consideration includes non-cash items. The issue is whether the difference between the fair value of the consideration given and the carrying amount of the asset transfer should be accounted for in equity or in profit or loss. We think that this difference arises from the derecognition of the non-cash asset, and that IFRS require an entity to recognize in profit or loss any gain or loss arising from the derecognition of an asset. On the basis of our outreach with national standard setters and regulators, we understand that the issue is not widespread, and we do not expect divergence in practice. We recommend that the committee should not add this issue to its agenda because IFRS provides sufficient guidance to address this issue. We are asking the committee if they agree with our recommendation and if they have comments on the proposed tentative agenda decision as shown in Appendix A of the paper. Thanks.
Joanna?
I will shock you by saying yes and yes.
Bert?
The same. I agree with the conclusions, with the recommendation. I just think that that's just wording with in the rejection note. In the last paragraph, we say that the issue is not widespread and so did not expect there to be diversity in practice. I don't think that the reason for not having diversity is that it's not widespread, but these are two separate criteria. And one,
I had flagged the same language. Leave the word so.
Yes. One question. What? Because we're not, in the paper, we are dealing with three entities that are not linked to some extent, except for having shares into one. What if they are subsidiaries of the same parent company? Would that lead us to the same conclusion? That was something that I would like to ask.
Well, I would say that I don't think IAS 24 tells us to change the measurement basis because something is a related party transaction. You can still look at the transaction itself and account for that.
So you would still put it into P&L, the difference to the, between fair value of the asset and the shares?
Well, we presumably are not talking about something where it eliminates. So we are talking about transactions in financial statements which are separate. In that regard, be they sub-consolidations or what have you. But I wouldn't see a basis for doing something different.
Raj? I'm sorry, Bert, were you through?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I tend to agree with the conclusion. A couple of remarks. First, your example on paragraph 20 is not comparing things that are equal. Because in one case, shareholder purchases 25% of NCI transferring to plan shareholder B, whereas in scenario B, it's entity X. I think it should be a subsidiary who should be selling the plant rather than, so that you have the NCI rather than the entity itself.
That was a question I had. Because in the first example, it doesn't say which plant is owned by entity X.
Yeah.
So it actually made me question whether if it's 16 because, or if it's 17 because it's non-cash distribution to owners. So I was questioning when I read example one in paragraph 8, it says A is transferring a plant. Is it A's plant or is it the plant A's, or is it the plant within X? And I didn't know in the example if that mattered. But I presumed it meant to be a plant within entity X in all scenarios.
That's what I
Okay.
Yes.
My second remark relates to the agenda decision. It's the last sentence of the second paragraph where it says, the difference between the fair value of the assets transferred and their carrying amount arising from the derecognition of those assets And IFRS require an entity to recognize in profit and loss any gain or loss arising from the derecognition of an asset. Is this always true? And where does this come from? As a statement. Yes, I see it in IAS 16, but I don't see it as a general principle in IFRS. Albeit I tend to agree with this conclusion. I know,
Our attempt to agenda decision is very similar to basis for conclusion 50 on IFRIC 17 that is reported in paragraph 15C of the paper.
Yeah, but it's not a general principle per se stated in IFRS.
Because we say similar to a disposal of an asset, IFRS is required an entity to recognize in profit or loss any
gain. But it is in the basis for conclusion.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that this basis for conclusion can be applied in this situation.
But it's not IFRS required.
I suppose we're using the same basis here as has been used for IFRIC 17.
Yes.
But it's not IFRS required, because you can you point out to me the requirement in IFRS that says that an entity shall recognize in PNA any gain or loss arising from the derecognition of an asset, every asset.
What BC 50, it actually refers to which?
A list.
Lists the standards. It says EG 16, 38, 39 and 5. You might want to have exactly the same words.
Do we have the words in general? Because I think that would be the only difference if we haven't.
It says in general in BC 50.
That's the only difference.
I think this that don't always work on
yet. Yeah, it says in general.
But so then is this limiting the scope of our response to the type of assets that are being transferred? But anyway, those types of transactions, to my mind, are not so frequent. I have not seen that many, so I don't know whether it's such a big issue. But
Scott.
Excuse me. Scott.
I agree with the staff analysis. I'm fine with the proposed agenda decision. I take Laurence's point. Maybe we should say IFRS is generally require an entity. I think the point is that we have two things going on here. We have the derecognition of an asset as well as the purchase of the NCI. The purchase of the NCI should not lead to a gain or loss, but the derecognition of the asset should be accounted for the way derecognitions of that kind of asset are accounted for. Generally, that will be profit and loss.
I agree. Any objection to that? May I then propose an additional change? I thought we were going to try and break the habit of speculating about whether diversity would emerge. We've already given the basis for our conclusion, so I propose that we delete the penultimate paragraph. Committee observed this issue is not widespread.
Okay. It's fine.
And then it's consequently the committee decided works just as well from the preceding paragraph. Andrew?
Sorry, are you deleting the sentence, the committee noted that IFRS provides sufficient guidance to address the issue submitted?
No.
Yeah. Why? Why would you do that?
We are deleting only the committee observed that the issue... Well,
I think Wayne suggested the whole paragraph.
I was suggesting the whole paragraph. I think... My reaction would be the second sentence is inherent in the observation that's already been described above.
I agree.
So it's...
I don't think that sentence detracts if we leave it in, but it seems unnecessary.
Okay.
But we could
due to widespread and because we actually did observe it by doing the outreach, and it's one of the agenda criteria, so.
But if we leave it in, then we've got to say what consequently refers to.
Right. I don't really have a strong feeling about it.
All right, then what my elderly brain remembers is we're going to add the word generally, and we're going to delete the paragraph about widespread and diverse and sufficient. Okay? Bernardo, you've managed to put us a half hour ahead of schedule. I don't see Martin. I don't see Martin up here. Why don't we take 15 minutes now, get Martin up here for the next issue?